You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the first time tonight. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a great habit to get into. This is this is Open Line Live tonight, so we can talk about whatever is on your mind, except for politics. And so let's just go ahead and kick it off with a couple of emails that I've gotten within the past, one of them last week, one of them this week, complaining about our set here. And I won't get into all the details. They don't like the set. Well, I have news for you. First, we don't have a set, okay, and we never have had. This is a radio show. This is not a TV show. This is a radio show, and this is a radio studio. It is in my home, all right, and if you were to come to my home, you would discover that I cannot be very hospitable to you because the entire living room and dining room area has been taken up by studio and office. This is where I broadcast from now. We've never had a set, and I hope to God we don't ever have a set. Maybe that will happen someday, but I hope not. And I wonder, for those who don't like this set, if you could have seen when I was broadcasting from the jungle in East Timor, would you have liked that set? What about when the fighting rooster attacked the pig right under my window where I was broadcasting from my house? Would you have liked that set? Or how about when I was in the Bangkok airport, my plane was delayed for 6 hours because of mechanical problems, and I had to do a show from, just outside a bar in the airport. Would you have liked that set? Let's see, how about when I did the show from my hotel room in Rome, would you have liked that set? There's no set. It's a radio show, for crying out loud. But I'll tell you, it's pretty interesting. I get emails where people complain about everything. We just live in an age where people feel a God-given right and a calling and a need to complain. If they don't, they'll just go insane. And so, but let me show you something. Now, I want you to look at right back here. You see the eagle on the wall? Okay. I have gotten emails with people complaining about the eagle on the wall. They don't like it. Okay, but see, at the extreme risk of offending somebody, and I don't mean to do so, it's my home. It looks like I want it, and if you don't like it, Don't watch. Close your eyes. It is a radio show. We'll be back. I will. I hope most of you will. Right after this. I got a flash message during the break. I checked and got this flash message that says, be careful, don't scold the audience. I'm not scolding the audience. I'm just reminding you, this is a radio show, and you just get to see me do a radio show. This is not a made-for-TV production, all right? It's Open Line Live. We all get to say tonight what we want to say. We get to talk about whatever it is we wish to talk about. And except for politics. Now, we're going to be using a different phone line tonight, and I'll put that up in just a moment, and I will announce in just a moment what it is that you need to call, what the number is that you need to call. But the first thing I want to put on the table here tonight is a report from the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy out of Rice University. Now, I think you remember James Baker. James Baker has served in he served in the Reagan administration. He was chief of staff for a while. I think he was also Treasury Secretary. He served in the George H.W. Bush administration in a couple of different positions. So we're well acquainted with James A. Baker. We know who he is, and he has a reputation for being a very careful thinker, and has a reputation for not, shooting his mouth off and so forth. And so you have to take any of the reports that come out of his Institute for Public Policy, you've got to take them, well, with a grain of salt, of course, but also you have to take them seriously because people do listen to what he's got to say. And there's a new report out of the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy, Rice University, Houston, that declares that NASA should give up, for now, any ambitions of rocketing humans to the moon and focus instead on delivering payoffs in energy and the environment, especially for climate change. This report argues that the space agency has an opportunity to prove its relevance in the post-Cold War world. Researchers at Rice University Baker Institute of Public Policy have urged the Obama administration to place the space agency on the front lines of efforts to harness electricity from such alternative energy sources as wind and solar power. This sounds very politically correct. My opinion, and you can when we open the phone lines, you have a different opinion about this. You call and state your opinion about this. But the deal is, this sounds very, very politically correct in today's climate and considering the Obama administration had, when it was the Obama campaign, had tremendous backing from environmental groups and from alternative energy groups and so forth. I'm not criticizing that. I'm just stating a fact, okay? And so this kind of a statement is very politically correct right now. Also, it's politically correct in light of the fact that we know the world is facing some tremendous, tremendous challenges in the near future. the global warming issue has morphed now because the evidence is in, and the evidence shows that global warming, actual global warming, over a long period of time is a myth. But climate change is not. Now, ocean warming is taking place. The ocean's warming is changing the climate patterns, and they are changing quite radically and severely. And I think all of those who are listening up in the northeastern United States right now would certainly give me an amen to that. With having just been through one of the worst storms in history, snow and ice, and they're still trying to dig their way out of it. So climate change is a reality. So you put all that together, this sounds like the politically correct thing to say, but it doesn't, in my opinion, make sense. And the reason it doesn't make sense is because as NASA moves to the moon, as they put, see, they're not talking about just doing a walk on the moon like previously. They're talking about putting colonies on the moon. They're talking about having people stationed there. Now, to do that, they have to come up with technologies for life support that are radical. You can't rely upon things you have here on Earth in order to have life support there on the moon. And so these are radically new technologies that they have to come up with. And I think that by doing what they're doing and continue on, go to the moon, build the colonies, develop that technology, they will be developing the technologies that this report says they need to focus on. As for giving them the opportunity to prove that they are relevant, it says it gives them the opportunity to prove their relevance in the post-Cold War world. We're not in a post-Cold War world. The Cold War is apparently still with us. It has simply taken on different dimensions, different parameters. It's still there. And, you know, it's a mistake to think that because the Berlin Wall came down that the Cold War is over. We all thought it was. But we have seen in the past few months with various moves by various nations that that's not the case. The Cold War is still very much with us, in my opinion. It's just different now than it was back in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and up into the 90s. So I don't think that taking NASA out of space and grounding them, I don't think that's smart. I think NASA needs to do what NASA was designed to do, and that's fly in space. I think they need to develop the technologies that they need for colonization on the moon and on Mars in order to help us here on Earth. Those technologies that they develop are going to be very, very necessary for us here on Earth. The moon has an abundant supply of H3. Now, we've all heard rumors that there's already mining going on the moon. We've heard those rumors. We've heard those stories. Those have been around for a long time. And, you know, we've all talked about it here on the show. We've had guests that came on the show and talked about it. And there are people that have been on the show that assert that, in fact, we do have colonies there, and they have asserted that, in fact, that we are mining H3 already. Well, I certainly am not going to call a guest a liar, and I don't lean that direction. At the same time, I am not a believer by nature. I just don't believe things. I don't disbelieve things. I either know or I don't know. And I have to say about the mining on the moon, I don't know. I've heard the same stories you've heard. I've read the same articles that you've read, and I come away from it saying, well, I don't know. It's certainly plausible, I guess, but I don't know. But I think we need to be mining the moon for H3, and the reason is that H3 is a fantastic fuel for cold fusion. Now, if there's already mining of H3, that means there is already viable cold fusion reactors that can use it. Else you wouldn't be mining it. But I don't know that we are mining it. But I think we should be mining it. I think that's where we need to head. We need to head to the moon. We need to start mining H3. We need to get into this cold fusion reactor business in a big, big way. And there's the fuel. Also, NASA is working on a process for extracting oxygen out of the soil, not only on the moon, but specifically and more especially on Mars. Well, that ought to be pretty easy on Mars, don't you think? They already have had the Viking lander that produced 15, it measured 15 times more oxygen than they could account for in that atmosphere. And then you've got the polar lander that the Phoenix lander that just finished its mission. It scooped up some soil and burned it, and what it got was lots of oxygen. And so then they put it into the wet laboratory on board and did some chemical tests, and what they got was lots of oxygen. So that ought to be pretty easy over on Mars. But the technologies that NASA has to develop in order to achieve putting a colony on the moon or putting a colony on Mars, the technology that has to be developed is technology that falls into what this report is talking about, and that is alternative energy technologies. Now, one thing here, it says they need to be placed on the front lines of efforts to harness electricity from such alternative energy sources as wind and solar power. I think that's ludicrous. You don't need NASA for that. You've got private industry out there doing it well, and they will get better and better and better at doing it. You don't need NASA doing that. You need NASA doing the really super high-tech development. And if there's anything NASA has been really good at, it's been at the super high-tech development end of the spectrum. And I have a lot of respect for James A. Baker III. I don't buy that report from his institute. I think that's just not what NASA needs to be doing. Now, we have some other things that we'll talk about here this evening, but let me open up the telephone line. The telephone line is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Of course, if you're dialing from outside of the Phoenix area, you would dial a 1 first. So 1-623-444-5889. And if you live outside of the United States or you live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and you do that by going to my website. Now, my website is kevinsmithshow.com. At kevinsmithshow.com, you can scroll down and you will find a link. It's in green letters and it says flash message. So if you're outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, you can do that and I'll read your message and we'll talk about it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's a Kevin from the bottom of the tin can.
Well, not this evening. This evening you sound okay.
Oh, it's actually, the phone's actually working this time. Damn Walmart phones, I tell you.
Oh, by the way, let me say something, Kevin, real quick. for those who are watching on television to this radio show, this cup is also not part of the set. This is a cup I actually drink from. Okay, go ahead.
You're drinking from a cup. I'm drinking from a bottle of beer, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, well, I have to work.
You know, I am so amazed that people today are still, quote-unquote, believing the official stories of everything, the official government stories. Well, let me tell you something. For those people that still believe their governments, perhaps they'd like to believe, they're starting to believe now about something that us nutty conspiracy theorists have been crying about for years, and that's these concentration camps that we have littered all throughout North America. Because the government just, quote-unquote, admitted that these things exist.
And do you have any in Canada?
Yes, we do. I know it's a subject that you don't like to talking about on the Kevin Smith Show very often.
I'm not nervous about it. It's just, you know, it's outside our genre a little bit. The people who think it's not real are living in a world that has never existed. It is real. There are concentration camps that have been built, prison camps, all over North America, including Canada. The ones in the United States, at least, are under the operational control of FEMA. FEMA, in case people don't know, has the authority given to it, in my opinion, illegally, by Congress, to suspend the Constitution and declare martial law. And all it has to happen is for the president to say we're in a state of national emergency. Once that happens, FEMA's in control, the Constitution's gone, your rights are gone, and you, at that point, live in a police state. And the FEMA detention centers are designed for dissidents.
Mm-hmm. And all it takes is a sign on a piece of paper, and I know what these camps look like. I've stood outside of one. There's one 4 hours north of me, well, northwest, if you go west of Hearst, Ontario. There's a pretty big one. I've been outside of it. I didn't take any pictures of it, but I've seen one, and let me tell you, there's nothing scares me more than standing outside of one of these things and praying to God you never see the inside of one of them. And, you know, and I'm just wanted to bring it up because now that there is, quote-unquote, official declaration that these things actually exist, you know. And speaking of official declaration, there is another story out here that is related to Kevin Smith Show stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about David Cameron, a politician, coming out that he is convinced that the Earth has been visited by aliens and has vowed to publish any secret files that may exist on UFOs if he becomes prime minister. He's a conservative leader in the U.K., David Cameron, who says that the aliens, he's convinced that aliens exist.
Yeah, I mentioned that several nights ago. It will be interesting to see. I've been following that story, and he's already begun to take some ridicule from other politicians about that. Kevin, we're into a break. You want to hang on, or does that about do it for you?
Oh, sure. I'd love to hang on.
All right, you hang on. We'll be back right after this. Back. It's the Kevin Smith Show. I'm the Kevin Smith, and we have on the line with us Kevin from Canada. One of the Kevins from Canada. We have several. We know you really as Kevin from Iroquois Falls, but you're not there right now, are you?
No, I'm in North Bay. I'm back to regular school hours. My internship at the radio station is done, unfortunately.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, of course I did.
Mm-hmm.
I learned, and let me ask you, Kevin, do you use Adobe Audition down there or Scott Studios?
No.
No, you don't use those programs, though?
No.
Well, you know, I'd love to do some investigative journalism, if I do get into broadcast journalism, and go down and join Jerry Wills down in South America and see what he's been doing down there.
Well, get in touch with him. I think Jerry would probably be open to being covered that way. I don't know. I can't speak for him, but get in touch with him.
Well, I'll see about that. And I'll also got to give a... You know, I've always wanted to give these guys a handout because I've been following them for quite some time. The folks at Project Camelot, these guys are working hard to get some, in objective form for people to get their, get ideas out there. I got to give them a hand, Richard Hoagland and the rest of the crew, Bill Ryan. You know, those guys are great. If people want to check out something, check out some good interviews and whatnot on different subjects when it comes to aliens, alien abductions. The psychic phenomena, Indigo, Star Kids, you know, they might want to check out Project Camelot.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for the call, Kevin.
All right, have a good night, man.
All right. All right, folks, it is Open Line Live. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. And all you have to do is dial the magic numbers, and the phone will light up here, and I'll put you on the air, all right? Maybe. There we go. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Eli. I'm calling from Portland, Maine.
Hi, Eli. It's been a while since you've called in.
It has. I've been quite busy going back to school for teaching these days.
What are you going to be teaching?
I'm sorry?
What are you going to be teaching?
Hopefully I'll be teaching theater and Spanish.
Oh, okay. Yo hablo español, pero no muy rápido.
Hablo un poquito, but I'm going back to school. I'm getting a minor in Spanish. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Está bueno.
I want to do some traveling down in the area where Jerry Wills has been, and I want to brush up on my Spanish before I go down there.
What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I was thinking about the things that you were talking about with NASA earlier before the break.
Yep.
And I was thinking I wanted to get your opinion and maybe the opinions of some of our listeners to about this topic. What if someone comes along, some millionaire or billionaire who just decides, you know what, I'm going to start my own private commercial space program, I'm a billionaire. What if, like, Bill Gates all of a sudden came along and said, you know what, I don't like the job that NASA is doing, I'm going to start my own space program, and we're going to put people on the moon, civilians on the moon, and we're going to see what's up there. Do you think the government would get involved?
Yes.
In what context do you think they'd get involved?
In order to launch, they have to have a launch permit from the government.
So what about someone that were to do it outside of the United States?
That would be different. If they built their spaceport, their launch pad, in some place, some country where they didn't have that kind of a law, then they're free to do it. But if they do it in the United States, they have to have a launch permit. And in fact, their entire launch pad has to be certified, and it has to be, you know, their whole launch area has to be certified. The one in Texas, I forget exactly where it is, but there is one in West Texas, a spaceport that has just gotten its certification. It has been approved and is an official spaceport.
Is it a private enterprise? Or
yes.
It is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who owns that?
You know, I'm not sure. It's been a while now since I've read that article. I say it's been a while. Look, I read so many articles every day that after three or four days, that's been a while. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I can't remember which of the companies owns that. Richard Branson, of course, has teamed up with Burt Rutan, and Richard Branson owns... Virgin Airlines,
yeah.
And they have teamed up to do commercial space flight. But as far as putting someone on the moon, they haven't said anything about that yet.
Well, I'm also just on a conspiracy level. I wonder if one of these South American governments, for instance, decided to have some sort of billionaire come down there and start a space program. If they wouldn't get involved in a unofficial capacity. Just a thought. You know, they've kept the lid pretty tight on some of these secrets. And even if it's just for exclusive industrial exploitation of the moon, I wonder if they'd welcome the competition or not.
Oh, you know, I could be wrong about this. I don't think the United States government really cares if people get into private space exploration. I don't think they really care. I think they do care about, you know, collecting the fees they collect for a spaceport permit and annual inspections of the spaceport and all of that, whatever goes with it, the government stuff. I think they care about collecting those fees. I don't think they care if Bill Gates wants to build a rocket.
Now, have you seen David Sirita's work about the giant organism-looking things up in the air? I mean, I know you've seen the tether incident video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen it.
That's kind of what I'm talking about when I'm wondering if NASA or the government would get involved with the civilian spaceflight, because if that stuff is up there just to be seen, if you've got the right cameras, you know, it makes me wonder if they'd want to keep that from being seen or not.
Well, it's too late. It's already been seen, and we already know about it. They can't tell us those are weather balloons. Because they're out in space. They can't tell us that it's mass hysteria because a lot of it was photographed and videotaped by NASA. It's too late. The lid's off of that. So I don't think the U.S. government really cares if people go explore space.
Well, I certainly hope that's true.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, they had the X Prize, and Bert Rutan and his group put a rocket in space. And true enough, it did not go into orbit. It did go into space. And the government didn't stop that at all.
Yeah, I just think, especially if people do get to the moon, whether they'll allow companies to claim portions of the moon for industrial exploitation or not.
No government has any control over that. All governments, the governments have signed a, first let me tell you this, the United Nations Convention on Space Exploration is usually called the Space Treaty, and it outlaws any government from claiming jurisdiction or territory on any of the heavenly bodies.
Right, but what about private individuals or corporations?
That treaty doesn't say anything about it, and no government will have jurisdiction over those companies doing it. However, there is a group of three individuals that formed a company and filed for mineral rights on every celestial body outside of Earth. And according to international law, the way this thing has played out, they sent notice of this to the United Nations back 20 years ago. They asked the United Nations to challenge it if it needed to be challenged, and the United Nations could not, because the United Nations, through the Space Treaty, disavows any ownership, so they can't challenge the claim. So the mineral rights on every planet in the solar system belong to these three individuals. There's a period of time, I forget what they call it, but there's a period of time that after that passes, the claim cannot be challenged, and they've passed that. And so now, is it enforceable? Well, I don't know that it is enforceable, but according to international law, these three individuals own the mineral rights.
Well, hopefully we'll never see a day when a corporation can claim a big chunk of the moon and have, like, Mick Moon, you know, like a big...
Don't think it can't happen, and don't think it won't. It will happen.
Be afraid!
Yeah. It will happen. Money moves to opportunity, and power is always surrounding money.
Definitely.
All right, man. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll let somebody else get on. Have a great night.
All right. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong about that. But that's the way I see it. We'll let you say it the way you see it. All right, give us a call. Telephone number is 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, this is Eric from, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, I think.
Okay, Eric.
What's going on, Kevin?
Just a show, man, just a show.
Yeah. To follow up on what you guys have been talking about, what's the country that's been allowing private space travel? Isn't it Russia? Am I wrong?
Well, and us.
You can pay a whole lot of money to go up. Well, I believe I've read...
No, you're talking about on the space station.
Yeah, up to
Russia has been allowing. If you had, I think it was $20 million, you could go up to the International Space Station, and the reason for that, well, I don't know about the reason, but what made it possible is they have not fully staffed their end of the International Space Station, so they have room for, like, let's just say they have room for 6 astronauts in their end of the space station. But they haven't had 6 astronauts there, and so they were sort of renting one of the beds, one of the bunks in their part of the in their living quarters there in the space station. They're going to stop that in 2009. There will be no more after 2009 because they intend to fully staff the space station.
Okay, that's what I was going to mention.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I stole your thunder, huh?
You stole it, yeah.
I'm sorry.
And also, I do send your website the more Stephenville sightings, and Angela Joyner, I've been in touch with her, she's on the case. A few people have seen orbs of light. Some of them are like in a row of 3 lights, and they're blinking on and off, so... working on that, and also facts on Washington, Stephen Bassett's initiative to get Obama to disclose what he can.
Yeah.
It's going to start soon, phase 2, so write to the White House and all that, call the White House, email the White House, do what you can, let them know that we mean business.
Do you think it's going to get much traction since we're facing the possible collapse of the entire economy?
No, probably not.
Yeah. Well, you know, it might. You don't know till you try, that's for sure. And so I think it's a good effort. I do think that a lot of the politicians are going to be excessively distracted right about now because of the economic situation.
Oh, perhaps John Podesta will get nosy and interested and try to do something. We'll see.
Well, we hope.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Take care, bud.
All right. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. And, caller, if you will just hang on, we're into a break. We'll get you first up right after the break, and we shall return, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. Just a very quick announcement. The music that you hear on this show is all of it is from independent artists. Great music, right? And you can find it at garageband.com and at music.podshow.com, all right? All right, to the telephone, caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi there, it's Kevin from Northern Alberta calling.
Another Kevin.
Another Kevin. I was wondering about that $20 million price tag that the Russians were charging. Is that all inclusive?
It better be.
I also wanted to mention that they blasted Bigelow's space station into orbit too. He had to go to the Russia to do that. He couldn't find a company to do it for him in the U.S.
Yeah, and is this a recent development, or is this the one from last year?
No, this is the one from last year.
Uh-huh.
He had to transport his that piece of equipment that they manufactured in Nevada all the way to Russia to get it into orbit.
Yeah. And from what I hear, it's doing just fine.
Yeah, and he has cameras on it, too, and I haven't looked into this. He said if there was any sightings or anything that he was going to announce it to the public. So I was just wondering. I haven't heard anything on it.
Yeah, I haven't either. So if it's all inclusive, are you planning on plunking down the $20 million and take the ride?
Not in this lifetime, Kev. I wish.
I would like to go into space at least once. I think that would be fabulous. You know, I've said it before, Kevin. If NASA were to call here tonight and say, look, here's the deal. We've got a shuttle going up tomorrow. It's kind of a rush deal. We didn't plan on doing this, but we got to send a shuttle up tomorrow. There's a few things wrong with it. It's about a 50-50 chance that everything will go okay. But there's a 50-50 chance of, disaster. Now, we've got one seat that's empty, and you can have it if you want it. Do you want it? I'd be on it.
You know what? I think I would be, too, just for that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hell of a toss of the dice, though. You know, 50-50 chance. Scary.
Well, at my age, that's pretty good odds.
Oh, come on. You're going to be around for quite a few more years yet.
Oh, well, I would hope so. I would hope so.
Anyways, I wanted to ask you about Stephenville. I haven't heard anything. Mind you, I haven't been looking either. Is there something new going on there?
Yes. This report was filed on February the 2nd by Angela Joyner. And it describes the sighting and names the people. And I've seen the video of it. The video is online now. Somebody sent me a link to it, and I took a look at it this afternoon. But they're saying, you know, they described what they saw. They saw the lights doing weird things that lights we make don't do. And they said they could see, with the naked eye, they could see structure between the lights. So they were all part of the same craft. They're seeing some more interesting stuff there around Stephenville.
Isn't that cool?
Oh. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks for the call. All right. The telephone number is 1-623-2... Whoop. I almost gave you the other number. 1-623-444-5889. 1-623-544... I'm sorry. 623-444-5889. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Louisiana.
Hi, Trey.
Hey, Kevin. I was going to ask you and maybe ask some of the callers, do y'all think there's a chance that these, I think what Kevin called them, concentration camp, or what other people have called them, detention centers. Do you think there's a chance, since this is being run by FEMA, that these are disaster shelter / cities for something bad that they think is coming up? And because that's what it sounds like to me, is a big giant city, you know, disaster shelter.
Well, I don't know what they officially say about it. They have the fences around them have razor wire that are angled inward to keep people in. That's a prison. That's a prison.
I don't know what that says, though, Kevin. I mean, you know, you're not going to have. It's not just going to have razor wire and depend on razor wire to keep people in.
That's right. It has armed guards. They're staffed right now with armed guards.
They have to have a guard tower and things, a wall, things like that. I mean, it would look like a prison.
They do.
Okay, well, if they literally look like prisons.
Hey, look, go to YouTube and type in FEMA prisons or FEMA concentration camps. You will be taken by video inside of one of them. It is a prison.
Well, they're just gonna have to have a lot more going than a couple of guard towers if you want to keep 300,000 people locked up somewhere that they don't want to be, without, you know, the place being surrounded by dangers like water or whatever.
So, no, you don't. You don't have to have that at all. All you have to have is martial law and have American troops all around it.
Yeah, but I mean, all these different locations of this.
Mm-hmm.
I just doubtful to me that these are detention facilities, because what would cause?
They are. They are definitely.
What would cause millions of people to all of a sudden have to be locked up?
How about if they declare martial law and they tell you and millions of other Americans that the Constitution is suspended, turn in your guns? What do you think that's going to do?
Well, it would definitely have some people in an uproar. If you have turning your gun, that would be a bad start, because we do have our gun law to protect us from our government.
Not anymore. Not if you have martial law. If you have martial law, the Constitution is out the window, and then you tell Americans you don't have freedom of speech now, you don't have a right to keep and to bear arms now, you don't have a right to privacy now, you don't have any rights. We, the government, run everything. Now, you tell Americans that. We already had one war with one nation over that, and that's how we became independent.
Yeah.
You tell Americans that, and you're going to have fighting in the streets. And apparently, that's what these FEMA camps are about.
Well, you know, I just don't understand how anyone is all of a sudden just going to come out and say, oh, yeah, by the way, we're taking away your rights. You just elected me, but guess what? I lied to you, and this is what I'm going to do. But, hey, Kevin, what it sounds like, though, is, does it sound like to you the beginning of the 100 years that we're supposed to go through before, you know, God comes back or whatever?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea about that. And when I talk about this, I'm talking in hypotheticals.
Yeah, definitely. I was asking what you...
Now, let me say this. It is not a hypothetical as to whether these camps exist. They do exist. Congress has just passed a law making them legal, and they are under the control of FEMA. And all it takes is for the president to declare that we're in a state of national emergency, and FEMA then becomes the government. FEMA, at that point, has absolute authority over your life.
And, you know, no accountability.
None whatsoever.
Well, to me, Kevin, that sounds like the beginning of bad times. I know there's bad times right now. I know that even though things might be great in this town or that town, there are things going on around the world. So there are bad things going on. But that sounds like, to me, the beginning of bad times, the bad times we're supposed to go through before God comes back. You know.
Well, it might be. But it is also true that all of that may be unavoidable. Here's why. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think, this is hypothetical, what do you think would happen if the economy totally collapses, completely collapses? You have no retirement in your retirement fund. There's no Medicaid, Medicare, no welfare. There's no money in the banks. You can't go get your money. It's gone. The whole nation is now penniless. What do you think the streets are going to look like?
Well, there's going to be chaos, and society itself would have to be restructured.
And who's going to do it?
Well, for society to be restructured from chaos, somebody with authority would have to do it.
We have to go to a break. Hang on, and I'll get you right after this break. I want to continue this. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. We are are back. It's the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host, and it's open line live tonight. On the telephone with me, Trey from Atlanta. Are you from Louisiana?
I'm from Louisiana. I've officially moved to Louisiana. So.
You're from Louisiana now. Okay.
Back in the Holy Land.
Okay. All right. When the break took over, I had just asked the question. You know, you said, well, there would be chaos and somebody would have to restore order. Well, that is what all of this legislation is all about. Now, is it good? Is it right? Is it something that we should look forward to, or that we should promote, or, you know, all of those are issues in the public debate. But that's what all this is about, that after a great, grave national emergency, there can be chaos. And if there is, they have this mechanism for trying to restore order. There are people who think that's good. There are people who think that's not good, and that there's a big debate. But is it real? It's absolutely real.
Oh, yeah. I've seen pictures of them, but then, you know, only time will tell. For me, it would look like, you know, maybe a disaster. You know, I don't know how it would happen, but I would think once, you know, the places were full and the people were living there, that they wouldn't want anyone else in. I don't know. I mean, when you hear people say things like, Kevin, only the select few will be saved and all this, I don't see how you're going to be able to, if it's chaos, you're not going to be able to go ahead and pick the select few because, you know, it's chaos. And
the select few have already been picked.
Yeah, well, no, there's a lot of people been tagged. You know, a lot of people been tagged, and so maybe that's what it is. It's
that's
learned
not what
a little,
these...
little bit from the aliens, and so we learned how to tag ourselves.
Well, that's not what these concentration camps are about. This is not for the survival of the elite. These are prisons.
Hmm. Well, Kevin, hopefully I won't wind up in one. That's all I know.
Well. I think it's going to depend upon whether a whole lot will depend upon whether a person is a dissident and a resistor, or whether they get their surfboard and ride the tsunami. I think it's going to depend a lot on our actions and statements at the time. And there are people out there right now who have already formed up groups for resistance, and you know, they're already talking it. How serious they are, I don't know. But they're already talking about it and talking about what their plan is for resistance. I think those are the people that are going to be targeted and will wind up in these camps. These camps are for, apparently, for dissidents.
Now, I wonder if they're going to take some of the select people and have them in underground bases or something, because if it's something that bad, they wouldn't have to worry about being on the surface with the people starving and desperate. They could be all cozy, you know, underground base or something.
Well, that's what we hear.
Yeah. Okay, Kevin, well, thanks for taking my call, buddy.
All right, thank you. Yeah, but this is not new news, folks. None of that's new. No one should be shocked to hear that, to learn that. If you've had your ears open for the past 20 years, all of this has been going on. It's not new. Caller, you're alive on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Dominic from Toronto, Canada calling.
Hello, Dominic.
How are you tonight?
Good. Thanks for asking.
I voted for the Arizona Cardinals, but didn't go their way. So.
Well, look. On the one hand, I'm very glad that the Arizona Cardinals made it to the Super Bowl. It was time. And I was proud for them, and I certainly was in favor of them winning. But I was more in favor of them winning than they were. They beat themselves.
Oh, yeah. Well, that last drive. But anyways, I was listening to the show tonight. I do listen often. I do listen at work as well, so thank you for that again.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering, ex-presidents of the United States, like Bush, Clinton, Bush 2 actually, Jimmy Carter, Clinton and Carter were actually interested in the topic of UFOs, but all of a sudden when they got into the office, they clammed up. Do you think it's possible that there's actually a debriefing about the subject that happens with the presidents. They're shown all the information, and then they get scared or told not to for reasons of
national security,
where they're like actually scared not to talk about it and realize they can't disclose it for reasons.
Well, we hear that those briefings take place. Dick Criswell has been on this show. He was a member of AlphaCom, and he has told about being involved in the briefing of President Clinton and Vice President Al Gore. He and Dr. Wolf, and I think there was somebody else. And so do they get told? Do they get briefed? I'm sure they do. I mean, I have no proof of that. It's just, it would seem to me that they certainly would be briefed on everything. And so that would be included. As for Jimmy Carter, he's kind of an enigma in many ways, but especially on UFOs, because he didn't talk about it anymore once he was in office. He didn't make a big deal about it. However, more than 50% of the Freedom of Information documents that have been declassified and are out there available for us, more than 50% were released during the Carter administration.
I just kept wondering if Obama had the same idea as Clinton had, where he told as one of his right-hand men, that he wanted to find out if UFOs for real. Then as soon as they inquired, they just all of a sudden clammed up about it. I don't know.
I don't know how to describe this. I think many of the things that we imagine happen don't. I think that many of the things that we imagine, the sort of Machiavellian machinations that go on, in the court, in the administration, I think a lot of that is just imagination. However, I think there are things that do go on that we never imagine, and people never have an idea as to why certain things happen. Now, I'm going to use an example, and the example I'm going to use, I know I'm going to get email where someone's going to, they have fecal matter for gray matter, and they're going to send me an email telling me this is a political statement in favor of George Bush again. I am not in favor of George Bush. I am not opposed to George Bush. I am apolitical. But I saw this on television this week. The retiring pilot of Air Force One.
Right.
George Bush was scorched in the press because he flew over the Katrina damage and didn't land. And when they interviewed that pilot, he said it was not possible to land. He said, there's no way I could have landed him that day. So people imagine things that simply aren't so. The pilot said, George Bush was obviously very concerned about things, but there was no way the pilot could land the plane in that area that day. And as a pilot, he could not do it. He could not land it. And it was his decision not to land.
Right. I just always wondered. I mean, he is the most powerful person in the U.S., and if he makes an inquiry, they should answer him. But I guess
they should. They should. And I think they probably do. I think there may have been some presidents that they kept some information from about UFOs because they felt like those presidents were perhaps a bubble or two off center.
Right.
And we have had presidents that were a bubble or two off center mentally, in our history. I think that probably there is some information they've kept from them. But generally speaking, I bet they get a full briefing.
I always thought that Bush 1 probably was the last one to be fully briefed.
He didn't need to be briefed. He was in charge of it.
Right, the CIA in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So, It's fascinating stuff. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Devin, thank you again.
All right. Thank you for the call.
I appreciate it.
All right. George Herbert Walker Bush was, you know, the director of Central Intelligence, and at one point, and I doubt that he needed to be briefed about UFOs. He probably knew and knows today more about the subject than any other single individual. I'm guessing, but I'm guessing that's probably the case, because he was the director of Central Intelligence. Then, you know, he was vice president, and then he was president. I'm betting he knows. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Brent from Wyoming, Kevin.
Hi, Brent.
I have two things.
All right, let's go for it.
First off, thanks for increasing the font size on the telephone number.
Oh, yeah. By the way, thanks for pointing that out. I thought I had it set at the right size, and when I checked it after your email, I discovered I did not.
Yeah. The other thing is, what do you think about those bats that are dying in six states?
Yeah, it's a syndrome called white nose syndrome. And for those in our audience who are not familiar with it, there is a massive die-off of these little brown bats. And they're very important. They pollinate plants, but they also keep down, they're very important for keeping down the mosquito population, which, of course, mosquitoes carry various diseases. So these little bats play a key role in our health, and they're dying off. Bunches of them, hundreds of thousands of them dying off. Oh, I say hundreds of thousands, thousands at least, dying off. And it's called, the biologists that have worked on this have called it the white nose syndrome. It's some sort of fungus that causes the bats, once it infects them, it causes their nose to turn white. And then what it does is it speeds up their metabolism during hibernation. So they burn up their body fat long before they're supposed to come out of hibernation, but then they come out of hibernation early in order to feed, only there's no insects to feed on because it's not springtime yet, and so they're dying. It's a mystery fungus. They don't know what it is, and they're trying to find out, but it they discovered it 2 years ago in one place. It's now spread to six states.
I just don't like the looks of, let's see, for the past few years it's been bees, now it's bats, so we're in trouble.
We are in trouble. I've got some more troubling news for you, Brent.
Yeah.
There are several studies now that say the Earth will be in a freshwater crisis within 20 years. And that it will wipe out enough food production to equal the food production of India and the United States.
Fine.
That means the Earth is headed towards massive global starvation. If those predictions are true.
I'm just going to, like I said, I'm one of those people who's going to sit back and ride the wave.
I don't know what else we can do. You know, if the Earth runs out of water, it just runs out of water, and then we'll all be thirsty and eventually dead.
Yeah.
But I don't know what we can do about that. I think that some of this is probably just what happens as the planet ages. Some of it we've caused. Some of it is just what happens as this planet ages. Nothing lasts forever.
That's right. Well, good night, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, let me take just a moment to underscore something very quickly. The telephone line is open, so if you want to call, give us a call. But I want to underscore something very quickly, and that is Expeditions Television is sponsoring the giveaway of that tapestry that you saw Jerry Wills holding up. It is from South America. It is very beautiful. You saw it. I'm going to play that for you again. In order for you to have the opportunity to get it, what we're going to do is have a drawing of all of the names that are in our members area. All right. So if you're in our members area, but in your profile you didn't put your name, you're not in. You won't be in the drawing. Got to have the name in there for us to do the drawing. Otherwise, how would we draw? Because it would just be a blank piece of paper where your name should be. All right. So we're going to print off all the names, and then we'll have a drawing. That drawing is going to happen on the first Monday night of March. And on the first Monday night of March, we will have the drawing right here on the show. And the winner of that drawing will get this tapestry right here.
Member of the Kevin Smith website. So, I've got an idea. If you'd like to have something from Urkos Island, I've got one of these. And you're going to be entered into a drawing, and you're going to get a tapestry from Urkos Island. One person. So let's see who the lucky person is. Anyway, become a member. It really isn't that much. You're looking at $6.95 a month for the amount of information you're going to receive off of Kevin's website. Yeah, that's not much at all. You're looking at 25, 30 cents a day. So tune in to Kevin Smith's Show weeknights, Monday through Friday. Go to kevinsmithshow.com and become a member. There are hundreds, literally hundreds of MP3s there for you to download once you're a member. Plus, you get all the inside information, like what I'm going to be talking about next when I'm on his show. And we have made some amazing discoveries. So, become a member today. $6.95 a month. And one person is going to receive this. So let's find out who it is. Well, I'm back to exploring. I'll see you later. Have a good one. Nice, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, we are back, and the telephone line is open. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Kevin. Doug in Canada. How are you?
Outstanding, Doug. How are you?
Not bad. Kevin, I'd like to know Boris in British Columbia. He is the other Kevin Smith Show member in the inner circle, as you call it, which has claimed that he does some night vision. He calls himself the other night vision guy.
Yeah, Boomer.
Boomer. Did you have Boomer contact?
Yeah, you know, you sent me an email, and I went back through the all the emails. I did a search. I guess the email that he had sent me, it must have gotten deleted. No, I don't have his contact. So if Boomer is listening, if he'll send me the contact information again, I'll forward it to Doug.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Wanted to comment on your wanting to take that little run into outer space if the opportunity arrived.
Yeah.
What would you do, though? We already know what's out there. Is this the experience? Is that what you would want to go for? Is that what you're saying? Just the experience alone of being able to be out there in outer space?
Yeah, that's something I haven't done, and it's someplace I haven't been. And I would like the experience of the launch. That would be exciting. Weightlessness, that would be exciting. And the ability to just sit out there in space and look at everything from that point of view.
Well, I guess it does have its beauty, doesn't it? That's for sure.
Yeah.
So when you mention that, you brought back some memories there of Jerry Lewis wanting to work at NASA in space.
Uh-huh.
They gave him a broom and said, "There you go, boy. There's all the space in the world for you."
Anyway. I don't want to work for NASA.
No.
No, and I won't be pushing a broom. But if that scenario that I described were to happen, if it were to unfold, I'd be on the next launch.
Amen. Okay, well, have a good night, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, folks. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And it's open line live. Yeah, what do you think about this thing now? We'll talk about whatever you want to, but I'm really curious about what do you think about this suggestion that we ought to ground NASA for a while. Tell them to just forget about going back to the moon and to Mars for a while and make them focus on wind power and solar power. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Well, I'd like to say hi to all my friends over there in Pal Talk and at the Kevin Smith Show chat room.
All right.
You know, I've been doing some thinking lately about and some research into when you had John Lear on.
Uh-huh.
You know, I find some of the stuff that he says to be hard to believe. But then again, I started thinking about the fact that this is a guy that has had so many connections, not just through him, but through his dad. And I didn't realize it, but when John Lear was young, he used to have a lot of the members from, you know, the people on the inside that came over to work with his dad. Apparently people from even within MJ-12, I guess. I just thought it was kind of interesting because some of the stuff that he says, if you really sit down and think about it, I don't think he's the kind of a guy that would just make stuff up for no apparent reason. Like, you know, who knows where he gets his information, but...
Well, let me say this. On the one hand, just because a person has credentials doesn't mean what they're saying is accurate. On the other hand, just because what they say may sound bizarre, that doesn't mean that it's untrue. And so that sort of leaves us with a dilemma. Anytime someone says something that sounds a little bizarre to us, then, you know, we have to start weighing it. Hey, we're into a break. You want to hang on?
Sure.
All right, hang in there. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's open line live tonight. We have a caller still on hold, and let's go back to the phone. What I was saying was it leaves us with a dilemma. You have someone with credentials, and you know, just because they say it and they have credentials, that doesn't mean it's accurate.
Right.
On the other hand, just because they say something that sounds bizarre to us doesn't mean it's untrue. And so it leaves us with a dilemma where we have to try and sort out, you know, whether what they're saying is true, whether it's accurate or not. And that's not always an easy thing to do. But it's an interesting thing to do.
Yeah, one thing that he said that caught my eye when I was watching his video over on YouTube was when he was talking about he wanted to find out if MJ-12 existed. And the only way for him to find out was to ask, I think it was his, he wanted to ask his dad that, I think. Or a couple of the MJ-12 members are coming over to his house to visit his dad. They came over and they were part of his family and this type of thing.
All right.
And he wanted to find out if it existed, and so he asked his, I think he asked his family, of his family. I don't recall exactly who he asked exactly. But I don't know why I'm going with that. I kind of lost my train of thought there for a second. But the thing that kind of interests me about him, and I was hoping you can get him back on the show again, because he has so many things to say that it's like almost impossible to fit it within 2 hours. But he was. I don't think he's out there to get attention from people. He's not out there to sell anything. I don't think he's trying to talk to large groups of people. He can talk to a few people, and it won't hurt the government that much, you know. This is just pretty interesting.
When he comes on this show, he's talking to an extremely large group of people.
Right. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah.
Well, listen, he's got interesting stuff. He is very controversial. But you have to realize that almost everyone who comes on this show as a guest is very controversial. That's why they're interesting.
Yeah, it's so hard to get a good story of information in this field. It's hard to get a one story, kind of a core story of what exactly is going on, because there's so many different opinions and stories of what people think is going on, what they were told is going on. So lately I've been just trying to find one or two people that I find credible. One person I find very honest and forthright is Bob Dean. I mean, I've heard a lot of bad things said about him, but I mean, when I listen to him talk, I don't see somebody that's purposely trying to tell a lie or sell a story to people, you know?
He's a straight shooter, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I've met him, and, you know, there's just something when you meet someone in person, you interview them in person, eyeball to eyeball, you really get a sense of whether they're telling you the truth or not. And I found him, from my point of view, to be very truthful and very much a straight shooter.
Yeah, and when he was a part of NATO,
mm-hmm.
and he talked about reading this document called an assessment, and he had the highest clearance that you could have at that time, which was cosmic top secret clearance, and he was part of, you know, it's part of big things at that time. He was way up there on the chain as far as his clearance level goes. So, I mean, he had access to that kind of stuff. But anyway, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I just wanted to call and speak my mouth tonight. So.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, man.
The telephone is open, and if you wish to call us, we would love to have you do that. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. If you're outside the United States or you're outside of Canada, that number works. You can call us. But if you don't want to pay the international long distance, you can use a flash message. Just go to my website and scroll down, kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down till you see a link. It's green, and it says flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing this evening?
Outstanding. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, that game yesterday, oh man, surprising. It wasn't quite as exciting as last year's, but it has to be coming second.
What is that? I missed what you said. What was so exciting?
The Super Bowl game.
Oh, the Super Bowl game. Oh, yeah. Well, it was a big roller coaster, you know, for fans of both teams, because both teams had it won and then lost it, and then had it won and lost it, you know, and it wound up with, of course, Pittsburgh winning. I thought it was a good game.
Yeah.
And look, that's paranormal. it's paranormal because the Cardinals were in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
But they earned it. They did. They're a good team. I think maybe next year they'll have a better shot at it. They beat themselves.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I thought early on, you know, with almost 100 yards in penalties, they pretty much shot themselves in the foot. I mean, I was pretty well amazed they came back here because Pittsburgh started doing the same thing. But it is an exciting game. But like I said, I don't think it's quite as exciting as last year's.
Last year is the best Super Bowl game I've ever seen in 55 years.
Yep.
Yeah, it really was.
Oh, okay. Onward to what I would like to talk about is back to since these concentration camps was brought up.
Yep.
You know, I've been seeing a lot of things on the internet about them. I've even seen where they're supposedly have pictures. I've seen them on the internet where they got rail cars inside some of these buildings where they're thematically sealed and hooked up for gas. To put people to death.
Where did you run across that?
If you do search, you know, under like conspiracy, if you go to like chemtrail sites or you know, just a lot of different sites, they have links and stuff in different videos. YouTube has videos of this.
Well, let me say this. And I fully and freely admit that what I'm about to say is not based on extensive research into this, okay? This is just my opinion. Anything is possible, and what you're describing may be indeed true. They may have these rail cars all fixed up and gas chambers where they can roll them into there and gas the people that are in the rail cars. That may be true. On the other hand, I find it personally very difficult to buy into that. The fact that the camps exist is pretty well established. It's not pretty well. It is established. They do exist. But the deal about the gas chambers, I don't know. I find that really, really difficult to buy. They may exist, but I find that one hard to buy.
Yeah, I've also seen rail cars, three deckers. I didn't see them personally, but I see them on the internet where they have shackles.
That's pretty well established. Prison cars, yeah. Yeah, they've got thousands of those prison cars with shackles installed.
Yeah, and it just seems to me that there's, you know, if they intended to do the right thing and they knew that we're having hard times coming, I mean, like you said, we're going to be running out of water. I mean, they could be introducing cell mill plants all over the United States, which would be basically a non-issue. As far as food, they could be doing stuff. If they have to, they'd be putting it inside in biospheres, and there would be enough food for everybody. I'm more cynical, and I go back to the Georgia Guidestones and what is coming is I mean, Hitler played it. They're going from the Hitler book, chapter by chapter. I mean, there's people that says, you know, it started out, you know, Hitler played it the same way, you know, and, you know, then all of a sudden they couldn't believe what was going on.
Well, anything that is powerful has power for good and power for evil. And, I mean, look at atomic energy as an example. Atomic energy has the ability to solve our energy problems. We could do it. However, the proliferation of atomic fuel means the proliferation of the possibility of the wrong people getting their hands on it and building atomic bombs. And so anything that has power for good also has power for evil. And when they do this planning for what to do in the event of a severe national emergency. When they do that, they're empowering agencies to handle the emergency for the benefit of those who just want to return to normalcy as quickly as possible. That's the intention. But it has the power, equal power, for evil. And it has the power to take away freedom and never return it. And I think people are justifiably concerned about it and justifiably are debating about it. And that's what they should do. While we can debate and decide if that's the direction we want to go.
Yeah.
If the government did nothing and then an emergency happened and there was no preparation, there would be politicians having to run for their lives because the American people would be absolutely furious with them. Okay, so they do something, and then you have a big portion of the population absolutely furious with them because they see how it could be used for evil. That's why I say, being the president or being a senator or being a representative, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. And in the final analysis, I think people will want a return to normalcy as quickly as possible and will sacrifice their freedom for security. I'm not saying I think they should. I'm saying I think they will.
Yeah, I think that's a very wrong way to look at it. Because I believe, like last year, there's been senators that gave it away and talked about martial law being in effect already because they were debriefed. I think they're going to have to run for the hills no matter what. And I believe that their plans, whoever they are, or I know who they are, but we'll let that go. If the people don't, if people in America didn't have weapons and were able to abstain themselves and protect themselves, I believe that there would have been scenarios that had already happened and chaos would already be.
Well, great. Maybe, but we're into a break. I got to run, but when we come back from this break, be sure you're listening because I'm going to tell you something about one of the big problems that they'll face if they have to declare martial law. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are on Final Approach. I have time for one more call if you want to call in. I haven't received any flash messages tonight. I received one. It's from the United States, and it's not intended actually for me to read on the air, but we only read them if they're from outside of the U.S. and outside of Canada. But let me check real quickly and see if any more have come in. No, that's it. But we have time for one more call. Now, I promised I was going to say something about martial law. A lot of people are really, really uptight about this. The fact is, the possibility of martial law has existed every second you've been alive on this planet. If you're in the United States of America, martial law has been a possibility every second. Okay? I don't think the government wants to declare martial law. I don't think they want to. They can, but they always have been able to. I don't think they want to because there will be, just think of the number, the overwhelming, unbelievable number of ex-military people in this country who have very special training who would oppose that if it were declared for the wrong reasons. So I don't think they want to. Can they? They certainly can. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Rick from Kentucky. And
hi, Rick.
I guess I'm going to have to step up and say I'm a NASA hugger.
Okay. That's okay.
I'm about your age, and I think we grew up probably the same time, and know the number of inventions that they have produced at NASA that have benefited the public.
Well, as a matter of fact, during the break, I always either get a new cup of coffee or a new cup of tea. If it's tea, I put water in the cup and I pop it into the microwave, and I microwave that water and then drop the tea bag in it and get back here in time for the break to be over. And that's what I did. And microwave ovens, as we used to call them, were invented for NASA by the Amana company.
Yes. I think probably what should be done, if anything, is remember NASA stands for National Aeronautics and Space Administration, and instead of getting rid of it, we need to get rid of some old politicians.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Most of the problems facing the country can be traced right back to their doorsteps.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Bye-bye. I don't think you need to take the wings off of NASA at all. I think you need to double their funding and tell them to go get it, boys. And then step back and watch the tremendous amount of advanced technology that will just pour out toward us. I think that's what we need to do. For some reason, we have just lost one channel of our stereo on the video feed, but on the radio feed, everything is fine. I don't know why. I guess someone is playing with us again. Anyway, back to the martial law thing. There are people who will say, Smith, you have your head in the sand. This is going to happen. Well, maybe. I don't have my head in the sand. I can only say that I don't read the future. Maybe it will happen. It always has been a possibility. Every second, every single one of you listening to me has been alive. There have been times in American history where there have been, in places, martial law imposed in the United States. It could happen again. I don't look forward to it. I don't think it's a good thing. And I certainly hope it doesn't happen. But I don't think there are people who think the government is just chomping at the bits to declare martial law. I don't think that's the case, because I think they know what a massive, massive uprising it could cause. And so I'm not saying that it would. Maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. But it could. And you start thinking in terms, you know, there are more people living in the United States right now who are former military than there are active duty military. Think about that. And if those people took exception, they certainly would have all of the training. They would have all. They would know how to train others. There could be a massive, massive disruption. And they know that. And I don't think anybody, well, I can't say that. I don't think anybody sane in the government wants to see the imposition of martial law. And I think that a lot of people are trying to scare a lot of people. For what reasons, I don't know. Could it happen? Yes. Will it happen? I don't know. But I don't think they want it to happen. And I think the more that we put our shoulders to the wheel and try to help our country out of the mess that it's in, the less likely it is that martial law would ever be necessary. I don't have a kumbaya view of the world either. I am the least woo-woo individual you'll ever meet, and I do not have a kumbaya view of the world. But I do believe that the more we put our shoulders to the wheel and push this country forward, the less likely it is that we're ever going to see the need for martial law. So am I afraid of it? Am I scared of it? No, I'm not. Do I think it will happen? No, I don't. But it could. And it always could have happened. It always, your whole life, every second that ticked by, that's been a possibility. So I don't see that anything is really different right now than it's been my entire life. World circumstances are different. The economy is different. But I don't see that as far as the, you know, whether they could impose martial law, I don't see that that's any different now than it ever has been. It's always been a possibility. Now, I want to remind you that a couple of things. I want to remind you that Expeditions TV, Jerry Wills is the executive producer at Expeditions TV, and Jerry Wills and Expeditions TV are giving away this beautiful tapestry from the Urcos Island in South America. And so that's not something that most of us are ever going to be able to go there and buy one for ourselves. So this is a pretty cool deal here, and they're just going to give it away, all right? And he's providing it for a drawing, and we're going to draw the names out of our members area. What we're going to do is print all the names off. So if you've established a members account and you're one of those secret squirrels and you just don't want anybody to know your name and you didn't put your name in there, you're not in the drawing, okay? Now, this is not designed to force you to put your name in your account. If you don't want to, don't do it. But the people who have their names in there, those names are going to be printed off on little slips of paper. We're going to have the drawing right here on the first Monday night of March. And whoever gets drawn out of that, whatever name comes out of that, is going to win that tapestry. That's a pretty cool thing, and I'm very appreciative of Jerry Wills and Expeditions TV for providing that for us. That's just fantastic. It really is. I can't go down there and get one of those, but you have the chance of getting one, all right? My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.